Good evening, Prince George's County Public Schools family, staff, and community members. I'm Quan Wilson, and I want to welcome you to tonight's live transportation telephone town hall. Tonight, we're focused on the actions we're taking to strengthen PGCPS transportation, the progress we've made, the work underway right now to resolve outstanding issues, and the steps we're taking to build a more reliable, sustainable service for our students and families moving forward. Right now, we're dialing out to thousands of households so they too can join tonight's transportation telephone town hall. We're going to get started in just a moment. Before we begin today's presentation, we want to recognize and thank our Board of Education members and members of Executive Cabinet for joining us on the line this evening. From the Board of Education, we are joined tonight by Board Chair Brandon Jackson from District 6, Vice Chair Dr. Felton C. Moss from District 7, Dr. Tiffany Anderful from District 1, Pamela Boozer-Struther from District 3, Amy Olivo from District 4, Robin Brown from District 5, Zakia Goins-McCants from District 8, C.J. Jackson Saunders from District 9, and Student Board Member Sydney J. Mosley. From Executive Cabinet, we are joined by Siobhan Smith, Chief Financial Officer, Dr. Andrew Zuckerman, Chief Information and Technology Officer, Dr. Dana Edwards, Chief Human Resources Officer, and Dr. Jamie Bowers, Acting Chief Accountability Officer. Thank you, Board Members and Executive Cabinet, for your presence this evening. We appreciate your partnership, advocacy, and shared commitment to our students. I'll now turn it over to Superintendent Dr. Sean Joseph. Good evening, and welcome, Dr. Joseph.
Thank you, Juan, and good evening. And thank you to our family, staff, and community members for being here tonight. Let me begin where I believe leadership must begin, with truth. The first week of school was unacceptable for too many of our families. Students were left waiting at the bus stops. Some children did not have complete bus assignments. Some buses arrived significantly late. Some students spent far too long traveling to and from school, and in too many cases, parents did not have the information they needed to know where their children were, when their buses were coming, or who could help them. For every child who was left waiting, for every parent whose morning, afternoon work schedule or sense of security was disrupted, I apologize. And as superintendent, I take responsibility. Our families should not have had to absorb the consequences of a system that was not sufficiently prepared. We knew we were entering the year with significant routing and technology transition. What we did not understand early enough was the magnitude of the routing challenges and the number of students and families who would be affected. That is our responsibility, not yours. And I want to make something else very clear tonight. We will not ask families to simply be patient while we wait for the system to get better. We have to make it better. I want us to be very careful with the word fixed. Transportation is not fixed because a child's name appears in a computer system. Transportation is not fixed if a child has transportation in the morning but not in the afternoon. And transportation is certainly not fixed if a family has an assignment on paper but the bus does not arrive. For a parent, I know the standard is much simpler. Does my child have transportation? Does the bus show up? Is my child's transported to school safely within a reasonable amount of time? And if something goes wrong, can I reach out to someone who can give me accurate information and help me solve the problem? That is the standard by which I believe you should judge us, because transportation isn't an operational function. Transportation is access to an instructional issue, and therefore transportation is an equity issue. A child should not have less access to instruction because a parent doesn't own a car. A parent should not have to jeopardize employment because a school bus does not arrive. For the thousands of children who depend upon us for transportation every day, the school bus is their bridge to the classroom, and we have a responsibility to make that bridge reliable. I also want to be precise tonight about our progress, because transparency requires us to tell you both what we have accomplished and what remains unfinished. At the opening of school, we faced a backlog of approximately 10,000 students who needed bus assignments. Our teams worked through the weekend to address that opening of school backlog, but I want to make an important distinction tonight. Processing an assignment is not the same thing as providing reliable transportation. So while we've made substantial progress in the backlog, we continue to identify and correct situations involving incomplete assignments, inaccurate stops, routing problems, excessive ride times, late buses, and other issues families are experiencing. We're also processing approximately 1,170 students who registered last week, and the goal is to have them completed by this Friday so they can start school on time on Tuesday. And this is within that normal window of 5 to 7 days. So we've caught up, and now we want to make sure we stay on track to get students assigned as quickly as possible. But I do not want anyone to misunderstand what I'm saying. Progress is not completion. So if your child's transportation is still not working, then from your perspective, the problem is not solved. I understand that. And that's why our work is now has to move beyond simply putting students into routes. We must stabilize the transportation experience itself. That means accurate assignments, complete morning and afternoon transportation, reliable buses, reasonable ride times, accurate information, and responsive customer service when something goes wrong. We're also addressing the underlying system that allowed these problems to reach the first day of school without senior leadership understanding the magnitude soon enough. I have already accepted responsibility for that. Now accountability requires us to change the conditions that allowed it to happen. We're strengthening communication and oversight between transportation and district leadership so that significant operational risks are elevated earlier, monitored more closely, and acted upon before they become a crisis for families. We're reviewing our routing processes. We're examining excessive ride times and looking for opportunities to reduce them where possible. We're addressing incomplete morning or afternoon assignments when they are identified. We're strengthening the leadership and operational capacity within transportation, and we're reviewing the performance of the system supporting this work so that we understand the full scope of what occurred and what must change. We will not rush to conclusions before that work is complete, but neither will we avoid difficult conclusions if the evidence leads us there. There's one other area where I believe we have to speak very plainly. Our customer service must improve. When a parent is standing at a bus stop with a child and the bus has not arrived, receiving a response days later is not sufficient. Families need accurate information when the problem is occurring. That means we must build a system where concerns can be identified, tracked, and assigned to someone responsible for resolving them and communicated back to families. A ticket number is not a solution. A call back after the crisis has passed is not a solution. The goal must be a timely answer and a pathway to resolution. We're working to strengthen that system now because transportation reliability and communication reliability must go together. Accountability must be visible. And there's another commitment I want to make tonight. You should not have to take my word for whether transportation is improving. You should be able to see it. We're going to measure our progress against the things that matter to families. Does your child have a complete and accurate transportation assignment? Does the bus arrive reliably? Is your child's ride reasonable? And when you need assistance, can you receive accurate information and a timely response? Those aren't transportation metrics. Those are measures of whether government is working for the people it serves. And when we're not meeting those standards, we have an obligation to tell you the truth about it and explain what we're doing to improve it. Trust is not restored through a press release. Trust is restored when tomorrow morning is better than yesterday morning, when the bus arrives, when the information is accurate, when someone answers the phone, when a problem occurs and somebody owns its resolution, and ultimately, when our actions begin to match our words. I want to be intentional about something else tonight. You know, there are many good things happening across Prince George's County Public Schools, but there will be other opportunities for me to talk about those things. Tonight is about transportation. Because before we can ensure that instruction is happening for every child, we must make sure every child who depends upon us for transportation can reliably get to the classroom. So tonight, you'll hear directly from our Chief Operating Officer, Dr. Sharaska Coleman, and members of our transportation team about what we're doing now and what we're changing and what families should expect. But just as importantly, we're here to listen. We want to hear what you experienced. We want to understand what you're still experiencing, and we need to know where our system is still failing to meet your needs. With a school system of our size, we may not be able to resolve every individual routing concern during this meeting. I do not want to make that promise tonight because we would not be able to keep it. But I can promise you this. Every concern deserves a pathway to resolution. We must know where the problem is. Someone must own it. Families must know what happens next. And we must follow through. At its core, what families are asking us isn't complicated. Get my child to school safely. Get my child there reliably. Do not allow transportation problems to cause my child to miss instruction. And give me accurate information when something goes wrong so I can take care of my family and get to work. Those are reasonable expectations. Our students deserve a transportation system that's safe, reliable, and dependable. Our families deserve accurate and timely information. Our employees deserve systems that allow them to do their jobs well. And every child in Prince George's County deserves to begin the school day thinking about the possibilities ahead of them, not wondering if the bus will come. We fell short of that standard during the opening of school, and I own that. Now our responsibility is not to ask you to trust us. Our responsibility is to give you a reason to trust us. We will do that through performance, through transparency, through accountability, and through improvement that families can actually see and experience. One route at a time, one family at a time, one morning and one afternoon at a time. Until reliable transportation is not something we are promising, but something every family can depend upon. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for holding us accountable. And thank you for continuing to work with us as we build the transportation system our children and families deserve. Back to you, Gwan.
Thank you, Dr. Joseph. In just a moment, we will hear from Chief Operating Officer Dr. Sharaskar Coleman, but first we want to check in with you, our listeners. For our first interactive poll question tonight, please use your phone keypad to submit your answers. We want to know your current transportation experience. If your child rides a PGCPS school bus, how has your child's bus service performed this week compared to the first days of school? Press 1. If its service is fully resolved and operating on time, press 2 if its service has improved but minor delays remain. Press 3 if its service remains delayed or travel times are too long. Press 4 if its My Child is still awaiting a completed bus route assignment. Again, we want to know your current transportation experience. If your child rides a PGCPS school bus, how has your child's bus service performed this week compared to the first days of school? Press 1 if its service is fully resolved and operating on time. Press 2 if its service has improved but minor delays remain. Press 3 if its service remains delayed or travel times are too long. Press 4 if its My Child is still awaiting a completed bus route assignment. All right, it looks like our results are in. 35% of our callers this evening indicate that their service remains delayed or travel times are too long. 24% of our callers this evening indicated that their child is still awaiting a completed bus route assignment. 23% of our callers have indicated that service has improved but minor delays remain. And 18% report that service is fully resolved and operating on time. We thank you for your participation. As a reminder, if you have a question at any time during tonight's broadcast, simply press 0 on your telephone keypad to enter the queue to ask your question live. Now let's turn the call over to Dr. Coleman for some foundational context before we open it up for Q&A. Following a challenging opening week of school, what concrete steps are we taking right now to stabilize operations and guarantee reliable transportation for our families moving forward?
Thank you, Quan, and good evening to all of our families and community members. Dr. Joseph has established the standard we must meet. My responsibility tonight is to explain what we are doing operationally to meet it. Our work is focused on three priorities. First, completing accurate transportation assignments. Second, stabilizing bus routes and addressing excessive ride times. And third, improving how families receive information and assistance. So let's start first with complete and accurate transportation. At the opening of school, approximately 10,000 students needed transportation assignments. Staff worked throughout the weekend to address that opening of school backlog. We are now moving back towards the district's normal routing cycle for newly enrolled students, which typically requires approximately 5 to 7 days. Our goal is to complete assignments for this current group by early next week. But an assignment in the system is only the first step. We are also identifying and correcting incomplete morning or afternoon transportation, incorrect stops, and other assignment problems. Our standard is not whether a route exists. Our standard is whether a child has complete functioning transportation. We will maintain additional routing capacity throughout September as enrollment continues to change. Second, I'd like to talk about stabilizing routes. Our next priority is making transportation more reliable. Over the coming weeks, our team will continue reviewing routes to first correct inaccurate stops, balance bus loads, address excessive travel times where possible, and make adjustments as enrollment and ridership stabilizes. We are also strengthening the leadership, staffing, and oversight of transportation. That work includes examining our routing processes, operational practices, as well as our technology. We will evaluate each part of the system based on one question. Does it help us transport children safely, reliably, and efficiently? When the answer is no, we will make changes. And lastly, we need to look at customer service and improving in that area. That is our third priority. Families have told us clearly that getting an answer has been too difficult. We have heard about unanswered calls, requests without timely follow-up, and families who did not know where to turn when transportation failed. That must improve. Beginning now, families with unresolved transportation concerns can email bushelp@pgcps.org. I'll repeat that. Bushelp, B-U-S-H-E-L-P, at pgcps.org. Families will receive acknowledgement that their concern has been received within 24 hours. That does not mean every transportation issue can be resolved within 24 hours. It means families should know that we have received the concern and that it has been entered into a process for review and resolution. We are also expanding our customer service capacity so concerns can be better tracked from receipt through resolution. For families tonight, the pathway should be simple. Check your child's transportation assignment in ParentView. Use Chipmunk for available bus location and status information when your child has an active route. And if the assignment is missing, incomplete, or incorrect, or you have another transportation problem that remains unresolved, please email bushelp@pgcps.org. If your child's home or daycare address is incorrect, contact your school so the information can be corrected in the student information system. Parents should not have to understand the internal structure of PGCPS to get help. You should be able to report a problem, know that we received it, and know what happens next. Lastly, what families should expect from us. Over the coming weeks, families should expect us to remain focused on three things: complete transportation, reliable transportation, and responsive customer service. We will continue processing new registrations and correcting assignments. We will continue adjusting routes and addressing excessive ride times. and we will continue strengthening the way families receive information and assistance. There is significant work ahead, and we will not suggest otherwise, but the measure of our progress is straightforward. Does your child have transportation? Does the bus show up? Is the ride safe and reasonable? And when something goes wrong, can you get help? That is what we are working to improve, and that is what families should hold us accountable for delivering. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that, Dr. Coleman. At this time, we're going to begin to open up the lines for Q&A. Our very first speaker that's coming up is Leslie with a question about how to get a route corrected. Leslie, you are now live and can ask your question about how to get a route corrected.
Hello. Yes, my question is just involving my daughter. She finally received a route over this weekend. And the bus that she was assigned, we waited Monday morning and looking at it on the Chipmunk app, it was nowhere near us. Their route is about a 25-minute drive, nowhere in our area. And good thing I was looking at it and never even attempted to come to our location. They went straight to the school after it finished its route. I've called into transportation. They said they talked to the bus lot, and they're like, the driver is aware he's going to come that way. And still, every day, the same thing. The driver does not come to our area. However, my daughter has been able to take an evening route home with no issue, and that driver did make me aware that he also serves his area in the morning for the school. And so I have been able to at least met up first. This is my first time today meeting up with him this morning so he can bring her to school on her school bus. And he's just like, you know, I still have to contact transportation to get it officially changed, but it seems like when I talk to transportation, they tell me I have to tell the school to change the route. When I talk to the school, they're like, they can't really change the route. And so just trying to figure out what the resolution is for getting her on the correct bus route, because even though he is able to take her, I'm not able to track the bus location at all because it hasn't been corrected on my end.
Yeah, thank you so much for that question. So first off, the important thing to note is that if a family student does not have a bus assignment, or in your case, the bus assignment is incorrect, you can still ride the nearest bus, right? We want to ensure that families know that if they're eligible for bus transportation, they can look up the nearest stop and ride the bus while the corrections are made in the system. But I would ask that in the meantime, while your child is riding the bus, please use the new bus help at PGCPS email address, because we're going to route those questions to our phone bank staff as well as our ombudsman's office to triage those questions and send them to the appropriate office. One important clarification based on what you said is that the school is not responsible for making routing changes. The school can verify your address, whether it be your before and after care as an alternate address or your primary home address, but the actual routing of a student assignment on a bus is done by transportation.
Yes, thank you very much. And that's what I assumed, but the transportation representative who I spoke to told me that I had to call the school to get it fixed. And then just also clarity with the bus planner site where you say you could ride the nearest stop next to you. Whenever we put in our address, it shows that there aren't any routes in our area. So just letting you know that there is a fault within that system as well. It's not showing accurate information on that piece.
We'll take that feedback back. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you very much, Leslie and Dr. Coleman. Next, we're going to hear from Debbie from Upper Marlboro with a question about her child's bus assignment. Debbie, you are now live and can ask your question.
Yes, my question is, I need to know when a bus will be scheduled for my son. The first week, he is a CRI student, so he needs a special need bus. The first week, he didn't have a bus at all. The second week, I guess over the weekend, they did stick him on a bus, but it was not the correct bus. It wasn't a special need bus, and it was two streets from where we live when his bus should be door-to-door because of his disability. So So right now, I still do not have a bus. I've talked to the school, and like you say, the school can't fix it, but they have been trying to get in touch with the router. The router, it's like they just can't be, you know, when you email them, you don't get any response, you don't get anything. And I've called transportation every day myself as soon as they open in the morning asking, and the only thing the person can tell me, well, I can send an email to the router. This is the second week. I still have no bus for my child.
Yeah, thank you so much. And we have to pay special attention to our students who have special needs. Can I ask what school your child is attending?
Kettering Middle School.
Kettering Middle School. Thank you so much. So we have specialized staff in the transportation department that is focused solely on supporting students with special needs. And so we will follow up with the Kettering Middle School staff so that we can identify that situation and address it as quickly as possible. But for those families who are listening on the call, please submit the bus help at PGCPS email or follow up with your case manager at your particular school so they can get in touch with our team here to address those special education concerns. We are looking at the emails that come in, and we're going to sort them by order of priority, whether it be a safety concern, a special education concern, and the like, and address those concerns as quickly as possible.
Thank you very much, Dr. Coleman. We want to remind all of our families on the line this evening, if at any time you have a question and would like to ask your question, just press 0 on your phone keypad to ask your question live to tonight's panelists. Our next caller is Kimberly from Crossland High School with a question about the bus stop. Kimberly, you are now live and can ask your question.
Yes, hello, hi. I'm calling about my son. I had moved to a new development. The first week, the bus was too far. On Monday, he did get a bus stop in the area, but the bus stop came at 5:39 a.m. in the morning. I took him to the bus stop at 5:30. The bus never showed up. I tracked the bus down from the old bus stop that he was at, and I was actually driving some questions. She was real nonstop about it. I went to the school to try to get it from that school, but the bus gone. They told me that the bus would come the next day. Next day, the bus didn't show up. And on the app, it says 5:39 on Monday, but on Tuesday, it's 6:31. And then today, they told me to be at the bus stop. I was taking the bus stop this morning at 5:54. Which time I should follow? If the app is correct.
So it's difficult for me to know without having your individual child's information. Have you been able to, has your child been riding the bus to school?
Yes, he was riding the bus. The first week was they gave me a bus stop that was like real far that he had to take him in the morning to the bus stop. Mm-hmm. He did that the first week. The second week on Monday, I found out that I had gave him a bus stop in the new development. He took him to that bus stop and the bus didn't show up. When he didn't show up about 6:10, I took him to the bus stop that was supposed to be there at 6:20. And that's the bus he got on. The driver said she was looking for my address. I told her where it was at, and she said her next stop was Madam Woman in Cattail. So I told her where the bus that street was. So she knew that was fine. So I thought she was going to be there on the next day. She could never give me a time or what time. She was supposed to be there on Wednesday because she's saying that they don't leave the lot until 5:10. So there's no way that she would get to that bus stop at 5:39.
So what I would recommend is, first off, thank you so much for interacting with the team to try to get this figured out, because our bus drivers are working extremely hard to communicate with families and really close the gap that we may have in some of our routing. And so that's the first thing I'd like to say. And I do want to say thank you to our transportation staff that is working hard, our bus drivers who are working extremely hard to try to get through this difficult situation. But with respect to your situation, what I would first recommend is continue to place your child on the bus, right? So if you're telling me that your child is able to get to school on the bus and get home on the bus, and that's to every family that is listening, because that's the most important thing. We want to make certain that students are attending school, and we're monitoring attendance rates. Our attendance rates are still extremely strong. I think that last time we checked last week, it was up to around 96%. And so we want to ensure that we maintain a high attendance rate while we address the transportation concerns that arise. I would also suggest that you write in bushelp@pgcps.org. It will take time to get through and address the concern that you have, but it will be addressed. And so while we take the time to address it, we can at least have comfort that your child is getting to school and from school consistently.
Thank you, Dr. Coleman and Kimberly. Up next, we have a caller with a question regarding the Chipmunk app and the plan to improve the information in the app. Caller, you are now live and can ask your question.
Hello, this is Heather Morgan. Thank you for allowing me to ask a question. And thank you for hosting this opportunity this evening. My question is, I'm a parent who has been using the Chipmunk app since last school year, and I'm finding that the app has been very inaccurate this school year. I have two children in Prince George's County Public Schools. One is a special needs child, and consistently his bus does show up. However, the app is not consistently giving me the accurate information. And then my other child is at Eleanor Roosevelt, and her bus information states that the bus is coming, and it never shows up in the morning. And in the afternoon, it says, oh, the bus is dropping her off, but she's already home. So I'm just wondering if there's a time frame or if you all are going to look at the accuracies of the app to make sure that once we have updated bus routes or our bus routes are correct, that the app is correlating to the bus route.
Yeah, I really appreciate that question. Thank you for asking. So in addition to the app, we are reviewing the entire transportation process. We have to look at our internal routing. We have to look at the technology systems like the app, our implementation, our training, the level of support that we're getting from our vendor. We just have to look at from the beginning to the end, each of these processes and determine where we're having inconsistencies, where we're having variance in the outcomes that we're looking for, and then make recommendations around changes. So that feedback that you've provided, we are certainly in tune with it. And please know that we are going to review the entire process to chart a course that can get us to a more consistent level of performance.
Thank you, Dr. Coleman. Again, we want to remind all of our callers on the line this evening, if you have a question that you would like to ask at any time during tonight's presentation, just press 0 on your phone keypad to ask your question live. Next, we have Karen with a student at Crossland High School with a question regarding bus 879. Karen, you are now live and can ask your question.
Hello. Yes, my son goes to Crossland High, and bus 879 has been not good at all. Last week, we had to take him to school every single day. This week, the bus came on Monday 30 minutes late. Yesterday, it came at 6:31, which was 5 minutes after the time it was scheduled to be there, which is 6:25. And then today, the bus came at 6:15, and so my son missed the bus, and thankfully my husband was able to take him to school. But the bus is not consistent, and in the evening, the children are still having to kind of guide the bus driver as to where the stops are. So I'm just trying to get some clarification as to why this bus is so inconsistent. And secondly, when I go to the Chipmunk app, the app keeps saying bus not reporting, and I'm not understanding. This app has not been functioning for me since last year. So I just need some clarification on what's happening. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your question. And so, and I'm really glad you asked that because, you know, in the beginning, over the first month of school, typically to the end of September, the operation for transportation has to be optimized and what they call balanced. So what that means is routes are being adjusted as additional students are assigned and as the transportation patterns stabilize. So families, you are encouraged to continue checking ParentView for the most current transportation assignment and schedule information. And it's just pretty basic. If you have 10 students on a route and you add three more students to the route, then the times might change. And the length of time might change that the route actually runs. And so that process, as we enroll more students over the course of September, is continuous. So please, families, please continue to check your parent view so that you can have the most up-to-date and accurate information regarding the transportation assignment and the schedule. We know that this can be disruptive, but it does stabilize over time. And that's our commitment, is to stabilize these routes as quickly as possible. But it does take a number of weeks, I would say 3 to 4 weeks, before the district stabilizes. And this isn't unique to Prince George's County Public Schools. All school districts have to go through a balancing as in the enrollment stabilizes for the school year.
And Dr. Coleman, I just want to add an exclamation point on that. And just remind our community, this is Dr. Joseph again, you know, as we have added 10,000 students over the past week, that's going to change times a little bit. And so as Dr. Coleman said, it is important to look because as more students come on, it's going to affect those times. And, you know, the stabilization will occur, you know, over the next few weeks. And then we'll be more consistent once it's established. Because we also have, you know, a lot of students who are registered for a bus, but they might be playing on athletic teams right now. So there'll be fewer people for a period of time, but then once that athletic season is over, they'll go back in. You know, so if parents don't, you know, take the option to opt out, you know, you're just not sure, and it's not as accurate as it could be. So the communication between the school system and parents is essential. And we'll, once we stabilize, we'll have more predictability going through. But the first few weeks of school, it's just always that balancing act.
Thank you, Dr. Joseph. Thank you, Dr. Coleman, for that information. Our next caller has a question about the maximum time for a bus route. Caller, you are now live and can ask your question.
Hi, this is Alexander Barnes, and you mentioned about a reasonable bus ride time, and I was wondering what is considered a reasonable bus ride time?
Yeah, thank you so much. So the maximum time frame that we attempt to route students for a bus is 90 minutes in the morning or 90 minutes in the p.m. We do recognize that that is a long time, but that typically is reserved for students who are part of our specialty programs because the specialty programs serve a much larger geographic area, which means that it would equate to longer ride times. I would like to make sure to reassure families that we're actively reviewing these routes that have excessive travel time because we do have a number of them that are far too long to determine where we can make adjustments to reduce those ride times. That process of adjusting and balancing is what I'm speaking of that takes time because it is thoughtful work. And we're going to continue to modify these routes, analyze these routes, and it will create a situation where we can reduce the ride times, especially as our enrollment stabilizes.
Thank you, Director Coleman. Our next caller has a question about the underlying cause of the transportation issues. Caller, you are now live and can ask your question.
Yes, how are you today? I'm actually calling or trying to ask, so you mentioned earlier an underlying issue that senior leadership was not aware about, but you didn't elaborate on it. Can you elaborate on the actual underlying issues that caused the transportation chaos thus far?
Sure. Well,
thank you so much. Oh, go ahead, Tom.
I'm sorry, Dr. Coleman. No problem. No, I was referring to the fact that our routing office was behind. We had 10,000 students that weren't routed, and if that was brought to us, you know, a week before school started, we would have been able to assemble the surge team that we put together this past week to resolve the issue over the weekend before school started. And because we didn't have that information before the first day of school, we ultimately had to go into a reaction mode than being proactive. You know, when I think about the difference between this year and last year, the difference last year was a few days before school started, we were alerted that there were students who still needed to be routed. Well, then we were able to activate a team to expedite that. And more importantly, we began communicating through the media and through our website, putting routes up and communicating to parents. If for some reason you were a family that didn't have a route, here's where you could find a route to go. And there was less confusion at the beginning of the year last year than this year, and there were fewer students who needed to be routed on the first day of school. So that's what I mean. We have to communicate internally more effectively to be able to put resource and attention to a situation, and that, unfortunately, didn't happen this year.
Thank you, Dr. Joseph. And thank you, Dr. Coleman. At this time, our next caller is Ron, calling with a question about transportation to Greenbelt Elementary School. Ron, you are now live and can ask your question.
Yes, I have an issue with transportation to get my son to a from school. He's not assigned to a bus. They keep telling me because we live under 2 miles. He considered a walker, but it's unsafe for him to walk to school because he got to walk on main roads with no sidewalk just to get to school.
Thank you so much for that question. So in our administrative procedures, the typical distance or the distance that's cited that we call our non-transportation zone or students that are designated not to have a bus is 1.5 miles from the school for elementary and 2.0 miles for secondary schools. Now, that doesn't mean that every student within that radius does not get a bus. There are certain traffic hazards, safety concerns that would not allow a student to not have a bus because otherwise they wouldn't have safe passage to school. So that's what you're speaking to. What I would recommend to you or a family that feels that there is some extenuating safety circumstance or reason why a bus should be provided within the non-transportation zone, I would ask you to submit to the email address that we provided, bushelp@pgcps, and in that email stipulate what the safety concern is and between our transportation team and our safe passage team, which is a dedicated team within our safety and security services department that is devoted to pedestrian safety. They can go out and conduct an assessment and make a recommendation as to whether or not a bus should be assigned or not.
Thank you, Dr. Coleman, and thank you, Ron. Up next, we have a caller with a question about TAG program transportation. Caller, you are now live and can ask your question.
Hello, this is Sonia Wilson. I'm calling regarding my granddaughter. She attends Kettering Middle School, and she has been in this TAG Spanish immersion program for 8 years, okay? However, the last several, I have issues with buses. Let's set aside what's going on with the buses right now. I'm talking about her having issues. As I was told when I put her in this program, she is guaranteed a bus because, of course, most of these schools are way out from where we live. So what I want to know is, has something changed about TAG students having access to a bus?
Yeah, thank you for your question. No, our talented and gifted program, as one of our specialties, our Spanish immersion program, our Aerospace Academy, our Academy of Health Sciences, all of these specialty program options, and I didn't list them all, serve a larger geographic area than a neighborhood school. which naturally creates longer routes. And so those programs are eligible for bus service, provided they're in the live outside of that radius that I talked about, but the ride times may be longer. We are, as a part of this balancing over the month of September, looking at the ride times, not just for our comprehensive schools, but also for our specialties, because we know that some of those ride times may be excessive and need to be addressed to the best of our ability as quickly as possible.
Thank you, Dr. Coleman. At this time, we have a question from Stacy from Northwestern. Stacy, you're now live and can ask your question. Stacy,
hello,
you are now live.
Hello, and thank you so much for putting this together for us. My question is future thinking. I want to know about how we're collecting metrics on what's happening right now, and I'd like to suggest that you guys create some kind of app or something that parents can report actual bus times for drop-off and pick-up, and if the bus completely misses its stop, to go ahead and give you guys an opportunity to analyze that data for future thinking. What kind of metrics have we put into place to make sure this doesn't occur again?
Thank you for that question. And I'm glad that you mentioned the metrics around improvement. You know, what's ironic about this is that our school district has been engaged in a transportation action plan to improve performance over the last several years. We've been tracking on-time arrival, tracking the consolidation of bus stops, tracking the number of families that opt out so that we can make our routes more efficient, looking at how we can consolidate existing stop routes to make them more efficient. And so we have a whole host of metrics that we are utilizing to be able to show objectively when we're getting better or when we're having challenges. What we are committing to do right now is to provide weekly transportation progress updates because we know that we have to restore faith from the community into our transportation system. And we need to ensure, for example, one of the key metrics that we've been tracking since the start of school are the number of children that need a bus that were not routed. That's where we started with that 10,000. And so we stayed focused, laser-like focused on that number until it was zero. And so we're going to continue to focus on metrics like that to ensure that we are providing families with the service that they need. Ride times, I just would like to add as one more, is another really important metric because we know we have to optimize and balance these routes so that families can feel comfortable placing their children on the bus.
And Dr. Coleman, I'd also add, it's the reason we are narrowing our communications to the new website until we can establish an automated system to make sure we answer calls, because we want to be able to track the issues, analyze the issues, and then change our actions based upon what came in. But very soon, once staff is trained and once our system comes up, we'll have a more automated system where we'll make sure all transportation issues come into a location or flagged. We can monitor how long it's taken to be, the responses come, and then also look at what the issues are. So as we have our weekly meetings on transportation issues, we can analyze and communicate the data, and we'll be sure to push out the information and be brutally transparent, because the only way you get better is to put a spotlight on the issues and then just fix them.
Thank you, Dr. Joseph and Dr. Coleman, very much. Up next, we have a question from Felicia with a child at Beltsville Academy with a question regarding follow-up times from transportation. Felicia, you are now live and can ask your question. I'm sorry, Felicia. Okay, I think we may have lost that particular caller. We'd like to remind you, if you have a question at any time, just press 0 on your phone keypad to be added into the queue to ask your question live. Again, just press 0 on your phone keypad to ask your question live. Our next caller is calling from College Park, and they have a question about bus routes. Caller, you're now live and can ask your question.
Hi, this is Jeanne. I'm in Parkdale area. And my number one question is, do you all even have enough bus drivers to handle the load that you have? And also knowing what, you know, is going, the DEI and everything that's going on, why wasn't there a large push to hire your own within the county to get that done? And the second part is, our buses are coming about 30 minutes early, which are dropping students off at the school probably about 20 to 30 minutes before the doors even open. So what can we do to rectify both of those issues?
Yeah, thank you so much for those questions. So with respect, we are excited that our human resources partners have worked tirelessly to provide us with a greater level of human resources, both bus drivers and bus attendants, for the preparation for this school year. Vacancies that at one time several years ago was well over 100, 150, has now been reduced to approximately 60 drivers. And so that has helped us better meet the demand. Certainly we know that that team is continuing to work, because we would prefer to have absolutely no vacancies at all, but the metrics are moving in the right direction. What I'd also add, and part of the challenge is, we have 12 bus lots, right? We are an incredibly large and complex transportation system, one of the 20 largest in the United States of America, that typically transports approximately 85,000 students out of 12 different bus lots. And so each bus lot has a complement of drivers to support the demands that they have. So you might have one bus lot, let's call it Douglas bus lot. They might have one vacancy, but then I might go to another bus lot called Mullican bus lot, and they might have close to 20 vacancies as far as drivers. And so the demand that we have is easier to be met at one particular location, and families don't feel that as much as at a space where they might have more vacancies. And so our job is to continue to work to close that vacancy gap and to be able to spread the human resources effectively so that we can meet the needs of all students. Now, to your second question around Parkdale, that's actually how we designed the system. So we're on a three-tier system as far as our school bell times. We start at 7:30, 8:30, and 9:30 in the morning. We have most of our schools are on the 7:30 tier, and most of those are elementary schools. And so what we have to do, because we don't have enough, we don't have a full complement of drivers, is what we do is we pick up our secondary high school students where we can a little earlier in the morning. We communicate with the school administration so that they know what we're doing, and we're collaborating so that there's supervision. And we'll pick those secondary students up a little earlier, drop them off so that we can go back and get the elementary school students and then get them to school by the 7:30 timeline. And that's how we can get ahead of the demand that we have to get students to school on time. We'd rather they be early than late. And so we can do more if we start a little earlier. And the issue becomes, in the afternoon, you can't get ahead of that because everybody dismisses at the same time. So it becomes a more challenging experience in the afternoons, whereas you can spread out your human resources in the mornings.
Thank you, Dr. Coleman. As we reach our final few minutes tonight, we want to make sure families who could not join us have an opportunity to hear this conversation. A recording of tonight's meeting will be available on pgcps.org following the meeting. With that, I'd like to turn the floor back over to Chief Operating Officer Dr. Shiroskar Coleman for some final thoughts.
Thank you, Kwan, for that. And I just want to say to the community that is taking the time to listen, thank you for being here. And I want to just echo what Dr. Joseph said, that we do apologize for the difficult start that we've had to the school year. But I believe wholeheartedly that where we've started is not where we're going to finish. We are going to improve. We've heard your concerns loud and clear tonight, and we're taking direct action. Our focus is back to basics, strong routing, balanced bus loads, dependable service, and responsive communication with families. Tonight's questions and the feedback that we've received will help inform the work ahead. We know that rebuilding confidence will take more than one conversation. It will take consistent action, transparency, and follow through. That's why we're committing to providing weekly transportation progress updates, including what we've accomplished, what we are working to resolve, and what families can expect next. We will continue to listen, make adjustments, and keep you informed as this work moves forward. Thank you to our team for your leadership. Thank you for your candor and your commitment to this work tonight. To our transportation staff, our bus drivers, our bus attendants, our foremen, our assistant foremen, our driver trainers, our auxiliary drivers, all of the Skyline staff and supervisors, you have worked tirelessly throughout this situation, our routers, our schedulers, and I want to say thank you to each of you and to all of our families and community members who joined us, asked questions, and shared your concerns. Thank you for your time, your patience, and your partnership. We know that there is still work to do, and we're committed to doing it. So thank you and good night.